Welcome back to the podcast, Pace Immigration, paceimmigration.com, talking with immigration lawyer Andy Semichuk. Andy, how's it going?
Fantastic. Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good to have you back. Good to talk to you as always. Today, talking about Ukraine, you had an article in Forbes, in your regular Forbes column, that talks about a possible refugee crisis growing out of what's going on in Ukraine. And while we're not a political show per se, and we're not going to come off as experts on the geopolitical angle, I will read a couple of headlines for background. I've got a headline here from the CBC saying, NATO sends more ships, jets to Eastern Europe as tensions with Russia build. The Globe and Mail, NATO sends forces to Eastern Europe to bolster Ukraine and allies in standoff. And then you've got the BBC saying, Ukraine, Boris Johnson warns Russian invasion would be disastrous. Andy, I know you've been to Ukraine your heritage is from Ukraine. You've been there several times out of the course of your life, or in the course of the last couple of years. Give us a little bit of background. I don't want you to delve too deeply. I don't want to put the wrong hat on your head for you, but give us a little bit of background. What's going on in Ukraine?
Okay, well, Russia is threatening to invade further into Ukraine. There's been a war on the Eastern Front since 2014. It's been a hybrid war, meaning not regular soldiers shooting each other, but little green men invading. They call the Crimean invasion as a sort of little green men coming in. We didn't know where they're from, and all of a sudden it shows up that they're from Russia. So there's this ongoing tension and turmoil between Russia and Ukraine. This is historic, 300 years plus worth of antagonism between Russia as an occupier and Ukraine as a colony emerging in modern times.
Unfortunately, events might turn out that things go badly. And this is where you come in the sense of an immigration lawyer, because you've written extensively in Forbes, on the refugee crisis around the world over the decades, because there's always a refugee crisis. I think you've quoted to me that there's 50 million displaced people at any given time around the globe. What can people do if they think this problem from the East is coming at us and we want to get out of here?
Well, let's look at the problem a little bit. As the war on the Eastern Front broke out, and over the period of the last 7 or 8 years, 14,000 people, Ukrainian people, have died, 30,000 injured, and 1.7 million have been displaced. Those displaced people were absorbed by Western Ukrainian regions. So the West didn't really feel a refugee crisis. However, in this occasion, if they invade Ukraine, there's likely to be a refugee crisis, meaning thousands, hundreds of thousands, potentially millions, and a lot of millions of people moving out of Ukraine and into Western Europe to escape Russian occupation. The degree of the crisis will depend on how much damage is done. There are nuclear stations all over Ukraine, 15 of them. And if any of them are impacted by the war, that could lead to up to, say, 7 million people trying to get the heck out of the country and out into Western Europe. So the impact of that could be unsettling for the European community. I mean, we could see a breakup, and I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but there are conflicts between positions relative to what's going on in Ukraine. The US and the UK are firmly helping with sending weapons. It seems that there are some others in that mix, in that camp. And then there are Germany and France who seem to be locked in some sort of passive position where they're not anxious to be involved in this, and that's where we are right now.
Let's talk about what we do know then. Because this runs up against the UN's charter and the UN's definition of refugee, does it not? Yes. Which basically comes down to, and of course you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you can't claim refugee status while you're still in your own country. Is that correct?
Yes,
correct. So people would have to leave Ukraine get to somewhere and what? Go to like a visa office or something? Like, where do they do this?
Okay, so actually, the definition of a refugee is someone who has a well-founded fear of persecution and is outside his country of nationality and unable to avail him or herself of the protections of his nationality, and therefore, and is being is fearing for his safety and security based on some of the traditional grounds for fearing, you know, insecurity, religion, political opinion, race, things of that nature. So, but one of the things that the definition does not encompass is merely war. Escaping from war is not something that amounts to being a refugee. You have to show that your fear is based on a political opinion or a race or a religion or whatever. But in this case, it's pretty clear the Russians want to Russify Ukraine. And so there's this racial dimension to the whole case. So what would have to happen is these refugees would have to come to Western Europe. And then there's a time period that you have to sort of get through before you can make the claim. It's a year. So after a year, you would then go to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees office, wherever you are, and stake a claim as a refugee. And then they would have to assess your claim and decide whether you're a refugee or not. And then you're eligible to either try to stay where you are or apply to be a refugee to go elsewhere, for example, to Canada or the United States or whatever. That's the kind of normal process. There's also another process that can be involved, and that's where, for example, in the Vietnamese case, Canada sent people, officers overseas to interview people, the boat people who had escaped from Vietnam, and then recruited some of those boat people to come as refugees to Canada without this 1 year wait and being, you know, all that part of the equation. And then like in World War II, forgive me for carrying on like this, in World War II, when after the war, there were millions of people displaced in refugee camps in Western Europe, they had a different policy, which was this displaced persons policy, where someone overseas who wanted to sponsor someone coming in or who wanted to come in from Europe in one of the camps could file an affidavit of support and file it with the government in Canada or the US or Australia or Argentina or wherever. And that was enough to enable that refugee to come sponsored by this sponsor overseas.
Is any of this available to people in the Ukraine now? In other words, can you preemptively do this? If there's not a shooting war going on, would the UN ever even view any Ukrainian fleeing Ukraine as a refugee yet? Or do you have to wait until things are so bad that now you might be considered a refugee?
At this moment, no. You cannot be a refugee from Ukraine unless you're outside Ukraine.
Right.
That's there's a sine qua non. You have to be outside Ukraine to claim refugee status. And, you know, there's this refugee element, but there are even broader considerations. For example, if you're in Europe and you got this ton of refugees coming into Europe, you got to start thinking, well, do I want to stay here or do I want to get... Europe is going to be unstable. Maybe I want to escape from Europe. And then there's the issue, well, what should Canada do? What should the United States do? And so on. It's a never-ending thing. Like there, apart from this one hotspot, there are, I think now, over 65 million people around the world who have no place to live. They're incredible. Just drifting around or in refugee camps and so on. It's like a horrendous, horrendous headache. So this particular hotspot could be very divisive in Europe. Europe could really go for a tumble over this.
Well, it's interesting because you've been there several times. Your most recent visit to the Ukraine was in November. You're heading back there. Your trip was scheduled a long time ago to head there in February. So we'll see what events do to your plans, but you are scheduled there to go do research for a documentary film as well as a book. Right. Your plans are still on, I take it?
Yeah, they are. I will be there in late February, presuming that there's still
cooler, stability. Yeah. So cooler heads prevail. Yeah. Right. What's your feeling in the, I mean, you've been there so often, just give us kind of an insider's on the ground view. What do regular Ukrainians think about all this?
There's a sense of calm. Some people are fatalists, saying, well, whatever will happen, will happen. In normal conversations with people on the streets, they say, well, I'm not an expert in these things. I don't run the country. I'm just leading my life. I'm going to try and, you know, do what I can with my life. But there's the war, and families are affected by, oh, gee, we lost our son. You know, I have a great example would be, there's a Canadian who lives in Kiev, and he has a son, and he's a young guy. And I've been in conversation. I'm not going to disclose his name because it's a delicate.
Sure. Matter. Yeah.
But the big issue is his son, whether he should go into the army and fight on the front or not. And the son is what's the word?
Ambivalent.
Ambivalent about it. And the father, the Canadian father, is saying, no, you're a citizen of Ukraine. You should be out on the front fighting.
Wow.
There are all kinds of conversations like that going on. So,
serious business. No, very serious business. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to catch up with you again. We might even get you on the phone when you're over there, but we'll definitely catch up with you before that. If people, I mean, these conversations are always odd. We've talked about refugee stuff before, but we usually end most of our talks with how people can get in touch with you for help. But in this instance, can you help people yet? I mean, what's your advice to someone who's like, look, you know what? I want some options.
Well, a lot depends on the individual and what their circumstances are. As far as, I mean, I can help people depending on where they want to go. And for example, do they speak English or not? That will determine whether they want to come to Canada, US or whatever. If they're, you know, if they have a lot of wealth, they may want to immigrate to, I don't know where, like Cyprus or, you know, one of the Antigua and other countries like that. In, you know, citizenship by investment, depends on their particular circumstances. But I'm not, I want the listeners to not feel that I'm trying to cash in on a very delicate situation. I'm not looking for clients from Ukraine because they want to escape from a war.
Right.
I'm not interested in that.
Absolutely. Andy Semichuk, thanks a lot. You can find him with his Forbes column at Forbes.com, and you can find us at paceimmigration.com. Andy, be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. See you again.